Hey everybody, what's up? It's Chase. Welcome to another episode of the Chase Jarvis Live Show. Today's micro show, the title of this one, it's never too late to start. And the basis of the show is that one of the other days, oh, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago, somebody reached out to me on my text community. She said, hey Chase, I'm a 50-year-old woman and I have a long, awesome career, but I'm feeling stuck and uninspired. I sort of feel like it's too late to do anything different. We'll call her Amy. That is not a real name, but let me tell you what I told Amy. Amy, it's never too late. It doesn't matter if you're just getting started, if you're mid-career, or even if you're freaking retired, it's never, ever too late. If something is telling you that it's time for something different, your job is to listen to that thing. There is something else that's calling you, right? It starts as a whisper. Goes back to my book, Creative Calling. It's not always crystal clear. Starts as a whisper, but the more you resist whatever that change that is calling for you, the louder that whisper becomes. And I don't mean yelling. I mean in the form of discomfort. I'll even say pain, dissatisfaction, and regret. The R word. And you can start feeling misaligned with your true self, and that can be painful, truly painful. What may start out as feeling stuck can soon manifest in all sorts of really unpleasant ways, even illness. I have several people in my community that I've talked to who have experienced profound illness as a based on disconnecting with their true authentic selves. Now, we are constantly evolving. We're creatures that are always changing. So it's okay to want something different or to want change. That's absolutely natural, no matter how long you've been at something, whether that's not that long or you've been doing it for your whole life. The way that I like to ask you to measure this is if something is calling you, listen. It doesn't mean you have to rush all in. Explore that thing, but pay attention. The myth of being too late is toxic. When we think about making a career switch sometime in midlife, wherever that might be, it's really easy to get bogged down by doubts and what ifs, but history is replete with luminaries who have not only switched careers, but have thrived and done so many times in the process, right? They've even become beacons of inspiration for those contemplating a similar leap. Julia Child is a great example, for instance. She worked in advertising and media before joining the Office of Strategic Services, which, to be fair, is a precursor to the CIA. But she did that during World War II, and it wasn't until she was, I think, mid-30s, 36, or something, that she had moved to France with her husband. And it was there that she discovered her passion for French cuisine, right? This is what led to the iconic career in cooking that we associate with Julia Child today, right? Culminating in her first cookbook when she was nearly 50 and a groundbreaking television series shortly thereafter. So don't forget about Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? He transitioned from being a world-renowned bodybuilder to a movie star and eventually served as a governor of California. So to wonder if reinvention is possible later in life, just look to Arnie, right? Schwarzenegger's career is a testament of the power of reinvention, demonstrating that with determination, with hard work, with a lot of the ingredients that you would think would go with something like this, plus listening to that call that I mentioned earlier, you put those things together, it's possible to succeed across a bunch of very different fields. In fact, I think that's part of what's beautiful about a life. Who you were yesterday has very little to do with who you can be tomorrow. Now you can leverage a bunch of past skills, and in that way, you know, then who you were yesterday has a lot of value to bring to it, but also it doesn't have to. Another compelling example, Colonel Harland Sanders. Now you know where I'm going with this one, right? QFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken founder. Sanders never even started franchising his restaurant and sharing a signature recipe until he was in his 60s. It's another vote of confidence that it's never too late to start. The painter Carmen Herrera, she had her first retrospective at the Whitney at 100 years old. 100. So it's never too late. That is a toxic myth. So right now, wherever you are, whether you're mid-20s or mid-50s, think about it. Let's talk about the things that come with that. The fear of changing careers or learning new skills is a multifaceted fear, right? You have to understand it and you have to overcome it. It can stem from financial concerns, the anxiety of leaving a comfortable position or a comfortable life, or the daunting prospect of being new at something again, being a newbie especially amongst younger peers, right? That can feel, that can be intimidating and fear-inducing. Recognizing and addressing these fears is the first step to overcoming them. All of this faces, well, it all starts with facing the worries about money, about the possibility of failing, about just feeling a bit out of place with people who you historically have not spent time around. And this is, it's all natural, right? And it's also true that that's where some of the best stuff in life is. A bit of smart planning, a bit of awareness about this thing in and of itself can help ease a lot of these fears. The money fears, for example, maybe starting to try out your new dream career as a side hustle before diving in fully. Remember that stumbling isn't a sign of defeat or failure, that it's a part of the process, right? It's a stepping stone to success or a step closer to where you want to be. Also, what about all those skills that you picked up over the years in your previous life, right? Probably some of those are valuable going forward, whether from managing family chaos or maybe you're a teacher leading a classroom. There's so much value in what you have done that you can give you a leg up in your new field. A lot of this is about seeing past experiences as strengths, as things you can bring to the table in your backpack of your experience, taking it forward into whatever it is that you want to apply yourself into next. These are the life lessons that can make you a very unique candidate in lots of new ways. Now I have on hand here, as is normal for a micro show, that I like to make these really actionable. I thought, here are six strategies I would like to share with you for this successful transition, that it is never too late to start something new. And keep in mind, right, the journey to a new career or mastering a new skill is usually, if not always, riddled with a bunch of uncertainty and that daunting task, right, of starting from scratch. But if you integrate the philosophy that you just have to do the verb to become the noun, right, that was also a really popular, one of the most highlighted phrases in my creative calling book. If you emphasize that, emphasize the focus on the doing, the creating, and the momentum, these are the key aspects of transformation along this journey into a series of engaging and purposeful steps forward, right? So here are these six things you can apply, six principles, I'll call that, makes them sound sophisticated, six principles across all sorts of different vectors for how to make a successful transition when thought through the lens of it's never too late to start. Now, number one, leverage the power of habits. I'll call them micro habits, right? Because incorporating small, consistent change, small daily actions into your daily routine, that's way more than a strategy. It's actually a process of building momentum. Let's say, for example, you aspire to be in the world of digital marketing. What if you set aside a few minutes each day, not just for reading about industry blogs or practicing copywriting, but specifically about reflecting on how these skills apply to real world scenarios, right? This reflection might turn micro habits into purposeful action. There's a research component, right? You're trying to understand what are the small, lightweight things such that if I did them every day, thought about these things every day, took these actions, that my process of transformation and growth would be easier. How can I gradually layer a solid foundation for this new career path while reinforcing the principles that action breeds momentum? Trying to put these two things together to create momentum, learning in the process. All right, that's thing one. Thing two, what about learning through a concept called reverse mentoring? Pretty simple, but interesting. Reverse mentoring flips the traditional mentoring model on its head, where we would like to pair older professionals with younger ones, people who have more experience with people who have less experience, in an effort to learn about the new trends, technologies, and cultural shifts, right? This not only bridges the gap between the current trends and seasoned expertise, but it also places you in this cycle of continuous action and learning. Now, how would you find a mentor or a person through which you could reverse mentor? This, I like to say, this is why perpetually building community is important. Whether you find these people locally, people that are already in your friend circle, which is a great place to look, your LinkedIn profiles, or on the internet, right? More broadly, there are people in your online internet community who can help you with this. That's thing two. Thing three, transform volunteering into a platform for active learning. I'm a massive advocate for volunteering, and I like to do it in a couple of different fashions. I try and line it up at the beginning of the year, think about how my year is going to shape up, decide what I'm going to do on what time schedules. But this truly can happen whenever. If you get motivated and fired up to make these changes and start to, you know, try to invest yourself in something new, volunteering is a great way to do it. So when you volunteer strategically, though, it's different. And strategic volunteering is aligning your efforts with your new career aspirations. This is not where you're just contributing your time either. You're actually actively engaging in the field of your interest. Now, this in a way is a little bit conceptual, but a lot hands-on. And that's why I want to emphasize this part right here. The hands-on part is your path into a real-world application of your skills. It's an opportunity to solve problems. It embodies the notion that you understand and you can succeed in a new domain if you become directly involved, right? This is the process of learning. If you're creating momentum through overcoming small challenges that you navigate with each task you get assigned in your volunteering process, the goal is to be directly involved and to navigate lots of projects. This is where you can test your skills, learn, and apply what you learn in this sort of momentum building way, right? This approach not only enriches your resume, but also it positions you well within the network and the communities that are relevant to your field of interest. It opens doors, potential job offers, and you get a you get to sort of like peek around the corner of what it could be like, which, frankly speaking, is very hard to overstate how valuable that is. That's number three. Number four, cultivate a portfolio career as a laboratory for growth. Now, what do I mean by that? Instead of aiming for a single linear career path, what if you built a portfolio career, a tapestry of a handful of different interrelated part-time positions or freelance work or consulting and personal projects, right? If you sort of weaved this blanket, a tapestry of a handful of different things that provided flexibility, that provided the opportunity for exploration, that enabled you to sort of tiptoe into something, get your, you know, put your toe in the water, enabled you to gradually transition into the new field that for where you feel the most energy, how good would that be, right? How great would it feel to diversify income streams while you're in the process of learning? It's especially interesting to me when people say they transition out of a career and they get so fed up, they have to leave. And then I've watched so many times, this is true for people 25 or 45 or 65, there's a compulsion that you have to just jump right back into another thing. This is where I like dabbling. What if you gave yourself a little space? Take some job that you would normally not do just to get some income moving, but that did not take up very much time, right? How could you then explore a handful of other things in this sort of portfolio mentality? This is a great way to test the waters in all kinds of different sectors, refine your skills, and discover or uncover where your true passions lie. That's number four. Number five, thought leadership. Now, I'm thinking right now, if you said, wait a minute, what am I a thought leader in? I only have 82 Instagram followers. Or what if you said, yeah, but no one's really interested in the synthesis of drain pipe plastics, which is what my career is right now, Chase. I would say, think again. Your very process of learning a new thing, you can share that journey, the insights that you are learning one step after you learn them. You can bring at what starts off as an audience of 10 or 100 or maybe, you know, 126, including your mom, 127. If you bring people along on this journey, these insights that you discover through sharing it in any way that you feel comfortable, right? Writing or blogging or, you know, video, you know, vlogs or even just a daily report, a daily Instagram reel, podcasting, doesn't matter how you do it. if you build this muscle of sharing, to be totally transparent, this is what I did with photography. I was talking in the earliest days, way back in 2005, six, you can go back on my YouTube channel. You can see that I'm actually experimenting and I'm really reporting on the something that I learned like 2 weeks before. And I just happened to do that for 1,000 videos or something like that in order to get hundreds of thousands of subscribers. Now, you can do that with any area that you're interested in. This is really not about having been an expert in something else. And it's part about becoming an expert, a thought leader in this new direction. It's specifically by processing what you're learning that you build personal brand. It has also all kinds of other downstream effects, some really, really positive effects like attracting career opportunities, people watch you sharing what it is you're learning in real time. It sends a bunch of signals about being self-directed and being motivated and inspired to take on new challenges and actions. And that's actually, those are all really good qualities for pretty much any job. So watch out because people are going to come at you with other, you know, ways that you can get involved in things that are not your passion. So be careful. But generally speaking, practicing this building of the experience of learning and sharing is incredibly valuable. That's number five. Number six, embrace a learning sabbatical as an intensive period of action. Highly underrated. Let's say there is an assumption here that you may have, whether it's vacation time or you just got laid off, you've got a little bit of a savings account that you can lean on for just a hop, skip, and a jump here. Take a learning sabbatical, right? This is an opportunity to go deep on learning something new and immerse yourself in some new intensive skill development. People have done this with languages, like, all right, I'm fed up. I want to move abroad and get a job as teaching English in a foreign country. And so you need to have a crash course basically in the native tongue of that nation. So you want to learn French. This maybe is an intensive period of French study. And you can think pretty easily about how to expand this or extend this into other industries or ideas. But the punchline is with a learning sabbatical, it's really an unparalleled opportunity to develop skills in a really intensive way. And if you haven't done it in a while, it can be exhilarating, a little tiring, but exhilarating to go deep on something. This dedicated period of focused action is really a testament to the power of the concentrated effort. And for most people that I know who are onto a second or third or maybe even fourth career, there's sort of you forget about this, that this is an option, that this is not just valuable, but fun and engaging. And so it's a great thing to revisit this rapid acceleration of learning in an application that, you know, this can really impact your career transition, right? It exemplifies the ultimate form of momentum. You're going deep, and in that depth comes rapid skill acquisition and motivation, inspiration, and who knows, maybe even the new thing that you're looking for is right on the end of that effort. So my friends, the decision to change careers or learn something new at any time in your life, it can be difficult, but it's also one of the most rewarding things. If we are not lifelong learners, what are we? That is what we were built. This carriage, this brain, it's all built for growth and change. It requires courage, of course. It requires determination, resilience, all the things that you would assume it requires, but remember, it's truly never too late to pursue your passions, to go back to your authentic self. Who am I now and what interests me? And it's okay for those things to change, right? This is the path to your dreams. Your wealth of life experience, what you've already built up to this point, whatever it is, wherever you are in your life, is valuable. It's an asset, not a liability. So what do you say? You embrace the fear, right? That embracing fear actually is a great signal that you're stepping into the next best version of yourself, the new version. You're constantly growing, right? That's the goal of this life. The path may not be smooth or it may not be obvious or straightforward, but the cool thing about this path is it's yours. And today is as good as any day to start, right? What's the saying? The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time, it's today. So think of this episode of this micro show here in that same lens that you would think about planting that tree and get started today. Until next time, yours truly, and I'm in your ears. Happy to be here. Grateful Check out another episode soon. And in the meantime, get to work. All right. Hey, before you go, thanks so much for listening. And if you got value from this show, chances are your community will too, right? In the particular lies the universal. Please share this link to the show with a friend or mention the show on social. That is a huge benefit for us and hopefully in exchange for providing value to you. I want you to know that I really appreciate your time, the attention, anything that you give to the show, and the questions that you ask our guests, either on social media or through my text community. All that is pure gold. This community, like any community, is a testament to that old phrase, a rising tide floats all boats. And by elevating one another, by sharing and resharing this show, the tidbits that you learn and the experiences you take away, all of that has a collective, massive, positive impact on the world. So, just a quick thank you. I appreciate all the effort you put into sharing for this show. All right, that's a wrap. Let's put today's episode into practice and get back to growing together.